Disney continues to circle the wagons around its direct-to-consumer services. Subscriber growth at Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu is strong, but is revenue heading in the right direction? Listen on to find out.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. And Colin, how are things going? How are you?
I am doing very well, thank you, Will, and things are going pretty well. Had a pretty exciting week. I just finished listening to the Disney earnings call, and we'll be talking a little bit about those numbers in just a moment. Seems to be all full steam ahead for their D2C efforts. But boy, lots happening this week with advertising supported content as well. And so there's plenty of fodder for our discussion today.
Definitely plenty of fodder. And we do want to spend time on Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus today. We got all the top line numbers from Disney today, but they were holding back some details because they're going to be having an Investor Day presentation on December 10th. I think that's going to be the day also that they reveal more details about the Star International service. But let's talk at a top level, Colin. Disney Plus, 73.7 million subscribers 1 year in. How about that?
That is pretty startling, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, it's funny. I'm looking at the investor letter, and it's they show data for September 28, 2019, and October 3rd, 2020, and there's just a line there by Disney Plus subscribers. it's pretty startling. 74 million subscribers in just a year. That's pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable. It's also, that's in the context of their original forecast was, 60 to 90 million subscribers in 2024. So
that's
right. they're already at the midpoint of their forecast 1 year into the launch of the service.
That's right. And they're not the only ones blowing through their forecasts. I think it's the same for Viacom, CBS. They're probably going to achieve their 2024 forecast this year or next year as well. So, you know, there's a lot of companies that are blowing through their forecast for the SVOD, their SVOD services. And, you know, that's funny. That's one of the things that became really, really clear in the earnings call. The Bob Chapek, who's the CEO, he's basically they're aiming more and more effort towards the D2C. That's absolutely where they see the future. And, you know, they're basically going to be directing more and more content to those platforms. That was the very, very clear message from today's earnings call. So, you know, they're really focused now on big growth, but it's coming at some expense, right? Because the amount they're actually earning from those platforms, where it's still a big loss and they're really not making very much money, right?
Yeah, they're not making much money, but actually even before we get to the Disney Plus revenue per paid subscriber, that 73.7 million, just one other thought on that, Colin, that was actually up 16.2 million subscribers or 28% in the past 3 months in their fiscal Q4, which is Q3 on the calendar year, but the quarter ending at the end of September. So they added 16.2 million subscribers. And, you know, again, that's a pretty impressive growth rate. One of the questions in there is how many of those 73.7 million subscribers are coming through the Verizon unlimited subscribers that get Disney Plus. Actually, they get more than Disney Plus. They get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. They get that bundle, certain unlimited subscribers too. I've seen that as high as 15%. So there could be 10 million or 12 million, something in that range, subscribers to Disney Plus that are now coming through Verizon. And those subscribers got it exactly a year ago. So they're now in a window where they have to, well, they're going to start getting charged. How long until those people realize they're being charged and potentially start churning out is another question. But that's certainly one of the big question marks on the Disney Plus subscriber side, even before we get into the revenue per paid unit, which we will in a moment.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. And when that deal ends, it'll be really interesting to see how many people actually pony up for the service. And that's going to be predicated, of course, on the amount of content that they've got. They've got flowing in there. And they had a bit of a boost, I think, this quarter because they were in the US and probably in other regions, too, because of Mandalorian 2, which is, I guess, receiving some plaudits in the media. Not my cup of tea, but other people seem to really love it. So that's probably helping. Of course, in the past quarter, Mulan had a tangible impact drawing yep. people in because they had to subscribe before they could pay $30 to see the movie. And right. it's actually, we don't know what that's going to do later this year when Mulan actually comes to the service for free. I assume it will come in December where it doesn't cost anything. How they're handling the exchange there between paying $30 and then getting it for free as part of the service would right. be pretty interesting. That seems to have been very successful in keeping things going. Now, I would say we have really no idea how many of those subscribers are in the US or in North America at all. They're just giving us the gross numbers. Perhaps they'll give us better telemetry on the regions when they give their investor call and investor day back in December 10th. But we really don't know how fast Disney is growing in the US to date. So my suspicion is probably most of the growth is coming from international markets. And in fact, I think they said that they were going to launch in Latin America today or tomorrow. So we should see another big bump of subscribers yep. from that tranche of new pent-up demand. That's, I'm sure there'll be a bunch of people who want to get Disney Plus there too. So it could be that when we look at these numbers again at the beginning of next year for this final quarter of the year, that we see another 10 or 20 million added. We're coming through the holidays as well, so that will probably help. And we should remember, Disney only reports paid subscribers, and there is no free trial, so people have to subscribe if they want to take a look at the content, so they could get a really big bump in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no more free trial for those Verizon subscribers, importantly. And Colin, you know, you talk about international, and you raised what the average monthly revenue per paid subscriber was in the quarter, and it being modest. And I think that's a fair point. It was $4.52 in the quarter. And remember, of course, that that's actually down just a smidge from the $4.62 that they reported, per $4.62 per average monthly revenue per paid sub that they reported 3 months ago. So down just a little bit, but $4.52 compares with the $6.99 monthly rate here in the US. But again, that number is pushed down, as you say, because the international rates are lower. We know in India, they're charging much lower. And then you've got all those promotional subscribers on there as well. So $4.52 per month, it does not seem like a lot for that treasure trove of content that's available in Disney Plus, doesn't it?
No, it certainly doesn't. And yeah, they do say that ARPU number includes Hotstar in India. And they right. talk about charging not very much. They charge about $20 for a year of Disney yeah. access in India. So that's going to drag it down quite a lot as well. Not great, but then this is a big investment time for them. So I think they're probably pretty comfortable with where they are. And I suspect that they'll start to bifurcate the regions at some point so that we can see, so that they don't have this effect where the overall ARPU is dragged down by regions in which the cost is much lower. I think that's possibly why Netflix decided to break out the regions as well, because ARPU there also varies greatly by region, and you know, you can see that. You can see them making progress in ARPU in all the regions. if they break it out. So that's probably why they're going to do that in the future.
Yeah, and it's so we know that there's the international impact there for sure, as you say, India less than $2 per month. And also then there's the bundle. There's the impact that bundling Hulu and ESPN Plus with Disney Plus, offering that for $13 a month versus I think the standalone aggregated rate would be $19. So it's like a $6 per month savings, and they're spreading that, I think, on a proportionate basis across each one of the different services. So even if the Disney Plus service got a straight $2 decrease, that would reduce it to $5 right there. So so a bunch of different things pushing down the revenue per sub, but still pretty impressive growth. Boy, 74 million in year one. You don't see that every day, that's for sure.
No, you certainly don't. And, you know, the one thing, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, and they're certainly saying the right things in the quarterly earnings calls, but they got to get more content, more new content into this service. And the other thing I will say, that there was some discussion about how Disney was handling this, you know, providing fresh content in their traditional channels and providing it in the D2C channels. And they talked about how they were balancing that out as best they could, but being aggressive in the online, the D2C properties. So they really want to attract people into those. And I think they'd be very happy for people to leave pay TV and come over to the subscription service. That would suit them just fine, I think. Well, but one of the things they did not talk about was ABC. And I've find this a little bit frustrating because ABC really doesn't have a footprint and a brand online of its own. It's just being absorbed into the bigger Disney. And I think that could be a problem going forward. I've got a feeling that a lot of people coming from traditional pay television and traditional broadcast TV are really going to be looking for that brand, and they're not seeing it. NBC has put a lot of effort into advertising Peacock to customers on the broadcast channels to make sure that they know if they want the NBC experience online, it's right there. Same with Viacom, CBS, and CBS. And you can bet that they'll be doing a ton of promotion around Paramount Plus when it launches next year. Fox has just been absorbed into Disney. And so there's another big hole of a brand that they could do something with. But I'd be really interesting to see how they're going to handle ABC, how they're going to handle the balance between ABC content and putting content in, I guess, Disney Plus, which is where they think it belongs. I don't know. There could be an argument there for having a completely separate branding, a completely separate app for ABC online. But I guess we'll see. Maybe they'll talk more about that at the Investor Day.
Yeah, we'll see. But we'll see about that one. And Disney results today, also, of course, Disney Plus was pretty exciting. But we also want to make sure that we touch on ESPN Plus and Hulu, because they both also turned in pretty strong performance. Which one do you want to talk about first, ESPN Plus or Hulu, Colin? What's your preference?
Let's talk about Hulu. There's a lot more going on there in Hulu. Not that ESPN Plus isn't important. It is important, of course, but there's a lot more going on about Hulu, and there's two aspects there that I think are really interesting, and it's great that they break these out. There's the Hulu standalone, the SVOD only platform, and then there's the live TV plus the SVOD platform, which of course is a virtual MVPD. And the SVOD only platform has done pretty darn well over the last year. Over the last year, it's put on nearly 8 million, 7 million subscribers to reach 32.5 million subscribers. Most of them are advertising supported, of course. They continue to say that most people are coming in at the entry-level $6 level, which includes limited advertising. And I think the ad load is supposedly around about half of traditional broadcast TV, which actually is sounding a bit high, Will, when you look at it in terms of Peacock, because Peacock's only, what, 5 minutes an hour, which is awesome. So that's done pretty well. A live TV plus SVOD has done even better. They're now 4.1 million subscribers. These are folks that are subscribing to a virtual MVPD, this live TV platform from Hulu, and the SVOD platform. And that's up from 2.9 million a year ago. So they've put on 1.2 million subscribers in the last year. So pretty strong performance from both SVOD and SVOD Plus live TV, Will.
Yeah, worth mentioning that of that 1.1 million on the live side, I think 700,000 came just in the past 3 months. They increased at the end of their Q3. They were 3.4 million subscribers on live TV plus SVOD. And at the end of their Q4, they were at 4.1 million subscribers. So, you know, we're going to talk. We don't want to get into it too far on today's podcast, but we are going to talk about the overall, you know, relative health in the pay TV sector in Q3. By your initial calculations, you think that the additions on the virtual side may have evened off the losses on the traditional side.
I think it looks like that to me, Will. It's kind of surprising, very unexpected. I'm not the only one who's a little bit surprised by that. By my calculations, it looks like the virtual MVPDs actually ended up gaining something like, I'm just looking at it, about maybe 1.5, 1.6 million subscribers in the last quarter. And Hulu Live is leading there because, as you say, they gained 0.7. And Sling TV actually in the last quarter put on a couple of 100,000 too, which this is after losing a little bit for the last few quarters. And YouTube TV, they announced that they had 3 million. Now, the last time they announced was over a year ago, and they said they had two. So they put on a million in the last year. And remarkably, AT&T OTT services, which have been dropping like a stone, only dropped a little. And Fubo TV doing great. They increased from about 300,000 to 455,000 subscribers. So this is pretty remarkable performance by the virtual MVPDs, putting on about 1.4, 1.5, something like that. And by my calculations, Will, the traditional pay TV industry lost about a million subscribers, which was way lower than I think everybody was expecting. We were all expecting maybe 3 or 4 million more losses this quarter, and it didn't happen. And I think it's got us all a bit mystified, right?
Definitely mystified. And again, we didn't want to get too far deep into that conversation today, but it is going to be fodder for a future podcast, is what happened in Q3 with pay TV when we get all the numbers in. But certainly it looks like Hulu has had a strong quarter in that sector. And you know, the other piece that jumped out for both of us is that Hulu, of course, put through a rate increase, a pretty aggressive one, $10 per month, late last year. And the fruit of that rate increase flowed through, we could see now in this Q4 versus Q4 a year ago, the revenue, average monthly revenue per paid subscriber for Hulu Live TV was almost $72 in this past quarter. That was up from $59. So that's a $13 increase. And we know that 10 of that is basically from the rate increase from December. And you and I were trying to parse through where that other $3 is from. It may be from higher penetration on the ad-free SVOD service. It could be partly higher penetration of DVR. It could be higher rates on the ads that they are showing. Who knows? It could be all of the above.
Yeah, it's not really clear. And just to put this in perspective, why Will and I are both really surprised at this $72 number for the ARPU for the live TV plus SVOD. At Comcast's ARPU, video ARPU, is only about $18 more than this. It's about $90. And so you're really not saving very much if you cut the cord with Comcast and you take it up with Hulu. That is pretty remarkable. And the other remarkable thing, I'm just blown away that Live has continued to grow even after hiking the price $10,
yeah.
Will.
Yeah.
That was a huge price increase. It is now no longer, quote, cheap. It's a little bit cheaper than if you were paying for a traditional pay TV subscription, but not that much, as I just said. And yet they continue to grow apace. And boy, why they grew this last quarter, I'm really, really surprised. And the other thing, you mentioned the increase in the part of the increase in the ARPU there might be due to advertising, which is included here as well. But I'm not sure, Will, because if you look at the ARPU for Hulu, just the SVOD only, that actually fell a little bit between this quarter, the same quarter last year and this year, to it was $12.67 last year and $12.60, $12.59 this year. And that I suspect is an impact of COVID-19. We know that the TV advertising industry is still recovering from the big depression that it went into in Q2. So it certainly seems to have affected the SVOD only portion. So I'd be really surprised if it didn't also impact live TV plus SVOD. So maybe this is just uplift from people buying the more performant DVR and buying into ad-free. I don't know. Those are the only two things I can think of that really would be impacting things there. But pretty remarkable performance. But we just got a couple of minutes, so let's talk about ESPN Plus.
Yeah, just a minute left here, Colin. But ESPN Plus, strong quarter there also. They gained almost 2 million subscribers in this fiscal fourth quarter. They're now at 10.3 million, and that's actually about triple what they had a year ago, 3.5 million subscribers. So the ESPN Plus model seems to be working pretty well for Disney as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. And they're really employing the same strategy that Disney has been employing with Disney Plus and Mulan. And in fact, this is where they invented the strategy, because last year, I think it was, late last year, they signed a deal with UFC where, in order to buy, had the privilege of paying $40 or $50 for a UFC event, you have to first subscribe to ESPN Plus. And they made the comment last quarter, there was a comment in the earnings letter, and they said higher results at ESPN Plus were primarily due to subscriber growth and higher income from Ultimate Fight Championship pay-per-view events. So this strategy is working great for ESPN. They're getting great growth, even though they don't have the premium sports. They don't have NFL, and they don't have NBA, and they don't have hockey. It's pretty remarkable how that service is also growing. And in fact, Bob Chapek was asked specifically about this in the earnings call today. And his comment was, yep, ESPN Plus is the place we want people to go who want sports online. He was asked about what people will do who are cutting the cord. And basically his response was, well, they can get Hulu Live and continue to watch all the sports that they love, and they can get ESPN Plus, and it is available in that triple play bundle, remember. They can get that and get a bunch of other sports as well. So really, that seems to be working pretty well at ESPN Plus.
Yep. All right. Well, a lot to unpack here in the Disney numbers. We're going to get even more on December 10th in the Investor Day. And of course, we're going to break down the overall pay TV Q3, which, as we said, came in a little bit surprisingly better than we expected. So a lot to look at here, Colin.
There certainly is, but I think we really are just about out of time, Will.
All right, Colin, good chatting. And thanks everyone for listening on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.